Hello everybody. This is the translation of Joel's message for Sunday the 18th of September. The reading is taken from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. In this passage, God is on trial with his unfaithful people, and the people then wonder if they must multiply the sacrifices to be forgiven. But, as always for God, the answer is not in the external rites, but in the disposition of the heart. And the prophet then reminds the people what God really expects of them, what God wants. That's a big topic. What guides my choices in my everyday life? Is it first what is trendy? What is rewarding? What I like? While we are all in a world of total relativism in the domain of moral and spiritual values, we Christians have an infallible compass. God has revealed to us in his word all that we need to know in order to live. And in this word we discover the true values, the sure values, which do not fluctuate constantly and which do not depend on circumstances or our states of mind. This verse, this program in 3 points, is a sort of summary of the believer's life plan. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. But first, let's go back to what God wants. So our questions today are not related to animal sacrifices, as they were for Israel at that time, but they can be asked in other terms. What to do to please God? To find the inner peace that I have been missing for some time? Do I need to do more in terms of my involvement in the church? Do I still have to sacrifice certain things? And the answer here is quite clear. There is no question of doing more or multiplying activities. We read in verse 7, "Will the Lord want thousands of rams, 10,000 streams of oil?" It is therefore not primarily a question of doing. God's desire is that we are above all in a relationship with him, at peace with him, and that we remain connected. That is to say, attentive to his voice, eager to please him and to accomplish his will. So we sometimes ask ourselves many questions about the will of God. Here, we have it before our eyes, clearly expressed. In a few words, Micah tells us what God wants from us, and this desire is within reach of all of us. It does not require any particular skill. Secondly, behave righteously, practice justice. That's the first point. So what does this expression mean to us today? The Christian life, such as God wants for us, is a consistent life, the outward aspects of which reflect the inner life. The Christian life is not a matter of theory. To be a Christian is not to be able to give a beautiful speech on God and on faith. It is a way of being and of living, different from others. Jesus said the evening when he washed the feet of his disciples, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." John chapter 13, verse 17. And here, being active is not just being regular at certain appointments like worship every Sunday. It is to practice justice and in all areas of life. What is certain is that in any case this does not mean making oneself the judge of others, acting as vigilantes on the lookout for all the failings, all the scandals, and there are some, and ready to denounce them loud and clear. Denouncing publicly, condemning certain authorities, for example, is certainly not the number one duty of the church on earth. If practicing justice meant being the judge of our neighbour, I believe that Micah would not have needed to write it, because we all know how to do that. The justice that Micah speaks of is justice with mercy. To live uprightly, honestly, without deceiving others. In other words, to be a reliable person on whom one can count in all situations. To live with your family, at work, with your friends, without using lies to get out of trouble, assuming your responsibilities and acknowledging your guilt when necessary, without always placing the blame on others. To really know how to recognise others for what they are, without taking into account their origin, their culture, the colour of their skin. To be fair to others, but also, and perhaps more difficult, to yourself. That is to say, do not overestimate yourself, nor completely devalue yourself, etc., etc. I believe that all this is a truly original way of living today. Thirdly, take pleasure in kindness, love, mercy. So that's the point that can challenge us the most, I think. This time it is not said to practice mercy, kindness, but to love it. Mercy, kindness, it is in any case a quality that we expect from others towards us. It is the ability to open one's heart to the other, even if he does not deserve it. The ability to set aside grievances, to forget wrongs without justifying evil, that is mercy with justice. It's being able to say, I like to forgive. I spend my time showing grace to others, instead of cursing at the wheel of my car, instead of feeding my resentment against my colleagues, my neighbours. A very typical example, that of Jonah. He was waiting for the condemnation of Nineveh, and he gets angry at the mercy of God. Jonah chapter 4. And he had proclaimed with ardour, in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. That is a message that he preached with all his conviction and with all his heart. And us, in the secret of our heart, aren't there sometimes certain hidden condemnations? An image of the chestnut tree. This image illustrates a little what mercy is, refusing to break the other or simply locking them up in a final judgment like, that one, he will never change. It's keeping hope and seeing in him what can make progress, what can still bloom. It is, as Isaiah writes, not to break the crumpled reed, nor to quench the wick which still burns. It's being one of those who easily give a second chance, and a third, etc., up to 490. Those who decide to put their trust again in the person who has wronged them. We often talk about the trust that is deserved. We can also decide it alone, regardless of the attitude of the other. It is therefore a question of liking to exercise love towards others. It is still much more than a habit, than an obligatory quality of the Christian. It is a deliberate choice to which we absolutely hold. To love mercy is to become addicted to kindness, generosity, forgiveness. It seems to me, without wishing to be provocative, that we evangelical Christians tend to claim the title of champions of orthodoxy. Imagine that tomorrow we deserve the title of champions of mercy. Imagine if we could write, in all honesty, on our church programmes, on our website, we are believers who still have room for improvement but who excel in respect and in mutual forgiveness. Christians who do not know everything, but who above all know how to forgive. Mercy is the very nature of God. Jesus also made this call clearly in his Sermon on the Mount. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Fourthly, walk humbly with God. Finally, the third term of this call from God to his people is also of astonishing sobriety, whereas its meaning is of extraordinary scope. To walk humbly or modestly with God, we might tend to say, but it's banal, it's what I've been doing for a long time. Yet, what a program again in these few words. We also imagine sometimes that humility is the most widespread quality among Christians, But there again, it is much more than knowing how to say from time to time, "You know, I'm not very good at it." It's like Paul wrote to the Romans, not to have too high an opinion of yourself. To show genuine humility without envying others is to admit one's own mistakes, one's own weaknesses, one's own vulnerability, while cultivating gratitude. Walking humbly with God is, by definition, not wanting to seek the exploit, the spectacular, which would force the admiration of others. What need do we have with the esteem and admiration of others? And learn, like the Apostle Paul, to be content with the state in which I find myself. Authentic humility is, I believe, also a value that can bear fruit today in our acts of evangelization, for example. Instead of wanting to give at all costs a certain image of Christians, perhaps if we had a little more courage and humility to recognize before those who see us live that we are like them, that we are not a superior race, we would encounter a little more attention. And then to walk humbly with God is to be aware of the invisible. It is not panicking in difficult circumstances, knowing that we usually perceive only one side of reality, and that God, even if he does it discreetly, remains by our side and remains the master of our history. It is to remain aware that we do not control everything, that it is he who is in charge, and that the only reasonable attitude is unlimited confidence in him. Finally, walking humbly with God means walking. That is to say, not to settle down in your Christian comfort and to remember every day that we are indeed pilgrims on the march, that we have not arrived in any domain, that we have a long way to go, that we are going towards the goal that God promises us, and that we are going there together. Walking humbly with God is, of course, walking humbly with each other, side by side. Conclusion. To live all of this, one must above all begin by experiencing for oneself the justice and mercy of God. And rather than hearing these words as orders, which would be difficult to execute, welcome them as God's plans for us. As we speak of the Ten Commandments, if we read them as so many promises, God declaring to his people, "I am the Lord who delivered you." So you are now free, and thanks to this liberation you will have the possibility of living differently than others, than the neighbouring people enslaved to their passions and their idols. You will be able, if you want, to escape the tyranny of evil, escaping murder, adultery, etc. Let us commit ourselves with confidence to the programme of life that God has prepared for us. Amen.